Look at your neighbor and say, I thank God for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. You will never know the depth of the revelation in that unless the Holy Spirit truly opens your eyes to see it, to understand that you really don't need a bakery. You don't need a whole bakery. You don't need a truckload of bread to feed a multitude, to fulfill your purpose and accomplish your destiny. You don't need a great philanthropist somewhere, somebody who is fully loaded, has loads of money in the bank to help you get your vision rolling. You just need one little insignificant boy somewhere that nobody even knows his name right now, who is willing enough to give up his lunch and make that a template and a platform for a miracle. And don't think too far. You are that boy. It's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Somebody lift up your hand and say, Father, I thank you for my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Hallelujah. It's never what we always want. It's, you know, sometimes you don't get out of life what you really want. You ask a dreamy-eyed young woman who is praying for a good, loving husband and has dreams about the kind of man that they would like to marry. And they may find out that that kind of man may not be the one that is excited about them. They may find the one that will go to the ends of the earth looking for them does not even match the image of the man they thought they wanted. Sometimes you don't get what you dream for in life, what you think you want in life. Sometimes the kind of people you think you want don't necessarily want you. Sometimes the kind of family you wish you had, you don't necessarily have. You know, the sweet, you know, everything all together and perfect. And sometimes life just comes at us in different shapes and sizes. Many times not of our own choosing. But God always has the right cut. God always has the right cut. God is a perfect fashion designer. He always has the right fit for you. Even when you don't realize it is the right fit. He always has the right cross and the right crown. Even when it's not a cross you want to carry, even when it's not a crown you want to wear, God is a perfect fitting fashion designer. And he has a perfectly fitted life for you. Because when Jesus stood there in that place, looking at this sea of heads out there, sea of heads, 5,000 men. And you know, in most meetings, there are more women than men. So if there's 5,000 men, I mean, then there will be at least 5,000 women or more, maybe double that. And then there'll be children. So you see a sea of heads. And Jesus has the responsibility of feeding all these people. And in that moment, he looks. He wished he had a philanthropist. He wished somebody drove in a Brink truck to help him. He wished somebody just, you know, somebody just called him in the moment and said, you know, we have a big check for you. But life doesn't always work like that. They found for him a little insignificant boy in the crowd who happened to have 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not the kind of person he's looking for. It's not the kind of way he's thinking about. But that's what God gave him in the moment. And that was good enough. Hallelujah. I don't know what God has given you in your moment, But I want you to know it is good enough. It is good enough. I don't know what God has given you. I don't know what the peculiarities of your life are. But I know it is good enough for you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Do it one more time. I do it a lot now, almost every day, several times. Like I just lift up and I say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Somebody may have a disabled child. May not be the disabled child you pray for. But that's the child you have. And that's the perfect fit for you. Hallelujah. That's the perfect design for that child to come into the world through your family. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just got to look at that child. And instead of tearing up about it, instead of wondering why me, just lift up your hand and say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Thank you, Lord. That's not what I chose. That's not what I would have designed. But that's what I have. And you are the perfect fashion designer. You are the perfect fitter. You know exactly how to fit perfectly in all of your children what we need to have. Father, thank you. There might be someone who is burdened with something, not what you chose, not what you asked for, but that's what you have. That's what you have. And God is not a God who makes mistakes. And what you ought to do from time to time is just lift up your hand and say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Thank you for my 5 loaves. And the more you do that, the more significant life becomes for you. And the more God adds to you, the more God adds to you. Ha, ha, ha. Because in the moment when Jesus lifted up his hand and said, Father, thank you. Yeah. Suddenly, the 5 loaves and 2 fish started to multiply. Yeah. Suddenly, he started giving it to the disciples and they couldn't stop giving to the crowd. It just would never run out. It wasn't money from a philanthropist. It wasn't a big check that a big billionaire wrote. It was 5 loaves and 2 fish from an insignificant little boy. But the money would not run out. Hallelujah. 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 I finally caught it. I finally caught the secret to feeding the whole world. It's in the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. We just need the Lord to multiply. That's all. We just need him to multiply. We need him to breathe upon it. We need him to touch it. That's all. You can look at it and say, this doesn't make sense. It truly doesn't make sense. It truly does not make sense. Because what is going on is the Lord himself breathed upon that thing and the life of God in that thing will never run out. Oh, thank you, Lord, for our 5 loaves and our 2 fish. Thank you, Lord, for our 5 loaves. Do that right now. Do that. Think in your life. What's your 5? Just thank him. Lord, thank you. It seems insufficient. It seems unconventional. It doesn't seem like what I really want. But God, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Might be a cross you didn't ask for. Might be something you never asked God for, but that's what you have. And instead of allowing the enemy to bruise you and traumatize your life and allow the enemy to run you into the ground because of regret or something that does not really have anything to do with what you asked for, just thank God. Say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. That's what I need. That's what I have. That's what I need. That's what I have. Because in here, your miracle will be made manifest. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody in here with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Never seems to be sufficient. Never seems to be enough. Not your dream job, your dream opportunity, a dream marriage, a dream family. Anybody like that here? Not the cutest. Not the cutest of relationships. And not the cutest of possessions. But that's what you have. As your 5 loaves and your 2 fish. And for that you ought to be thankful. Just keep giving him praise. Because out of that your life will never be the same again. Multitudes and multitudes of lives will be affected forever. Not because a philanthropist wrote a big check. Not because somebody called you in the middle of the night and sent you a big check. Not because a Brink truck drove into the parking lot. Not because somebody came in and gave you the keys to a bakery. No, no, no. But because you began to rejoice over your 5 loaves and your 2 fish. My friend, when you begin to do that, something happens in your life that no human being will ever be able to explain. Thank you, Lord, for my 5 loaves. And my 2 fish. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's spend a few minutes in the Word of God here. I just thought I'd let the Holy Spirit minister that a little bit. It has nothing to do with what I'm ministering today, but it's just been blowing in me. You know, it's just been overwhelming in me for several weeks now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Not the background you asked for, but that's what you need. That's what he gave you. So thank him for it. And celebrate it. And God will affect the nations of the world, multitudes, through that. Through that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the Word of God. Somebody lift up your Bible. You brought your Bible to church today. Lift up your Bibles. I almost feel like we already had church. Like, you know, I just feel like we already had church. I mean, the Lord, what the Lord just ministered to us right there can change your life permanently. It changed mine permanently. Lift up your Bible. You know, some of you have your phones. I understand your phone is your Bible. That's okay. Lift up your Bible. Say, this is the infallible Word of God. It is God's will, God's purpose, and God's promise for my life. I can be everything this Word says I can be. And I can do everything this Word says I can do. I receive into the prepared soil of my heart today the seed of the Word of God, and I declare by faith that it is producing fruit in my life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo-hoo. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Well, you know what? Before we go to Genesis, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You probably know this scripture by heart now. Hallelujah. He said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. That's the things he has prepared for you and for me. He said, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now in Genesis chapter 1, you see right there the combination of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit activity in creating the unprecedented on the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let me interrupt for a minute. If I tell you that the Lord has earmarked you for a perfect life, there will be a number of thoughts that will go through your mind. And some of these thoughts are legitimate thoughts. They are thoughts that may be connected, have traction with the dreams that you've carried all your life. But the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it's not entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared. That means there are images within our hearts, but sometimes those images don't accurately line up with the things that God has prepared for us. There are images. As a young minister going into the ministry, a young pastor who has a dream of pastoring. And there's a young man starting out in life, wanting to start something big, business and career and family. And there's a young woman who has a dream of family and different things, career and profession and things they want to do. And we carry these dreams sometimes all our life. Sometimes, though, the conflict of life that we all experience is that we find out that the dreams we carry for so long do not necessarily line up with what is revealed, what the Holy Spirit actually reveals in our future. We find out over time sometimes that those dreams that we thought we had, the sketches, the outlines of those dreams, don't necessarily line up with the revelations that the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives. And what we've got to learn to do is understand, you know, sometimes you've just got to step back and say, I know God has the perfect plan for my life. I know it. God does not make mistakes. He's a good God. He loves me. This is how we've got to think, all of us. He loves me. He cares about me. He wants the best for my life. You've got to think that. And so, what is coming out, which may not necessarily accurately line up with the outline of what you envisioned for many years, you've got to at some point step back and say, God, I'm going to let you be God in my life. I'm going to operate every way I can out of your word. I'm going to yield every way I can to the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to let you be God in my life so that you can take the glory when it's all said and done. What we find out is as we approach the later stages of our journey, and when we have made those determinations earlier on, we find out later when we look back that the sketches that we thought did not line up with what we were experiencing were actually, what God was revealing was actually far better than what we carried in our lives for many years. We just didn't realize it. In the moment, it doesn't seem that way. In the moment, there are even questions we ask. But why this? Lord, why? Because sometimes it just doesn't line up. But when you make that determination, I'm going to build my life on the foundation of the Word of God, and I'm going to live a life of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, regardless of these circumstances and these situations, ultimately what you find out as you keep walking with God when you look back is He actually gave you the perfect life. You just didn't know it. And I have lots of examples I can share with you from the Bible. The Old Testament is great only because we saw the beginning, we saw the middle, we saw the end, and we are reading it, so we can tell. God doesn't make mistakes. If you ask Joseph on his journey, the dream that he had, which he shared with his brothers, which he shared with his father, that dream, let me tell you, the sketches, the outline of that dream do not line up with anything he experienced when he was going through all those years. There's no commonality, no similarity. There is no semblance of any of the things he thought. He was constantly wondering about this. I mean, where is the coat of many colors that's supposed to represent all these graces and favors and blessings? Where are they? It's like someone just jumping from frying pan to fire, from fire to pit, from pit to priest. I mean, Lord. But would you agree with me? If I just declare to you right now, without just even talking about it, let's not read too much in Genesis. Would you agree with me that at the end, towards the end, when Joseph looked back, he would say, God gave me the perfect life? Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Did he feel like that? All those years? No. Didn't Joseph have reasons to question? Yes. Didn't he wonder sometimes? Yes. But at the end, did it work out? I said, at the end, did it work out? Let's go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I started to say something to you last week that I myself hadn't too much delved into. I kind of just gotten just a little bit of the peripheral sketches of what the Holy Spirit was showing me. But since that service, quite a lot has happened for me in the Word of God and just in my interaction with the Lord and revelation knowledge and all of that. To come to a place of understanding that every single thing God creates is exactly like this. Is exactly like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, God always has this image. He always has this perfect plan, this perfect blueprint that he works with. And we don't have that blueprint many times. And the Holy Spirit is always there ready. And what the Lord wants to do, he wants to give us a perfect life. I want you to know, folks, if you forget everything that I say to you today, I want you to go all through this week remembering these words. God wants to give you the perfect life. God wants to give you the perfect life. He had darkness at the beginning. And the Spirit of God was there until God spoke. When God started to speak, things began to happen. When God started to speak, things began to happen. That's why the foundation of everything in our lives has got to be the Word of God. The foundation of everything in our lives has got to be the Word of God. You remember this story that the Lord Jesus Christ told in Luke chapter 6. Let's take a break from Genesis. I'm going to come back there. Let's just look at this real quick. Luke chapter 6, and look at that in verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. And I really want to deliberately start from verse 45 because I want to show you something there. And, you know, everything the Lord says is actually planned. It doesn't just use words. It's everything is actually planned. I want you to look at what the Lord said in verse 45. I want you to look at what the Lord said. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart does what? Brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, what? His mouth speaks. I have a question for you. What is it in the mind of God that categorizes one man as good and another man as evil? What is it? What is it? I know your mind is cranking up and thinking about it quick. Trying to, what is it? Tell me, what is it? What is it? What is it that makes one man good and another man evil? But what's responsible for the things in his heart? You go right back. His thought. Okay. You go right back to Genesis chapter 1. What is responsible for what makes this man good or what makes him evil? It's there, right there in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. What produced this good? So I told you, your mind is cranking like an engine, right? What produced this good? Because up until that point, the first mention of the word good is in what verse? Verse 4. Before verse 4, we are told the description, the beginning, the earth was this, it was that, and darkness, and the Spirit of God moved, and then God said, and then in verse 4, it was good. What is it? What made the difference between what existed from verse 1 to 3 and what now existed in verse 4? Is what God said. It's very simple. It's not a trick question. It is what God said. That's why in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, go right back there with me. I'm trying to show you something here. There's so many people who think God categorizes people as good or evil based on their bumper sticker, based on what churches they attend, based on the size of their Bibles, based on... No. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Look at what he said. A good man, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart does what? Brings forth that which is good. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. What is it that makes the good man good? What is it that makes this good man good? Okay. So, let's answer this question based on what Jesus said. Because I know our minds are cranking. Yours cranked. Yours is cranking. Mine cranked. But the Lord actually helped us see. What was it that made one man good and another man evil? It's exactly the same thing. That made the earth evil without form and void, but then made it good. It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing from the very beginning. It's not all many of the things that we think about. No, it's one thing and one thing only. Please hear me. Let's read this and then I can rattle off a little bit before our time is up. He says, "For out of the abundance of his heart, of the heart, his mouth speaks." He called him a good man. And he said this good man had a good treasure in his heart. Why is the Lord describing what is in the heart of a man as good or evil? Why is he calling it a good treasure? Why? And then he said he produces that which is good. Why is the Lord describing what somebody produces as good versus what somebody else produces, which is evil? Is it the size of what they produce? Is it how popular what they produce is? Come on, church, help me. Is it how much the world celebrates what they produce? Help me. What is it that determines whether what somebody produces is good or whether what they produce is evil? What is it that makes the difference? See, I got you all walking up this morning now. So it's not the preacher alone that is walking. You all are walking because I see your minds are just cranking. So is his heart now? Don't want to say his words. It's good. This is how we need to relate with the Word of God. If not, we find ourselves playing religion. He says this now. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Then he said in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Okay. So, that immediately answers a question for us. That immediately tells us sometimes we can even say the right things and yet it is not being produced out of the treasure of what is in our heart. That immediately tells us sometimes we can actually say, "Lord, Lord," but what we are producing is not good. Isn't that so? I mean, we're reading this from the words of Jesus. Now, this is not trick. There's none of us in this sanctuary or anyone joining us, by adventure joining us online today, who in this service would not say Lord when they say Jesus is Lord. All of us right here in this service are saying, we're saying Lord, Lord. In It may not necessarily be the treasure in your heart, but in this service, under this atmosphere, you say, Lord, I say, Lord. Right? Let's keep on reading. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So it is possible to call him Lord or say the right things sometimes and yet not be bringing it forth out of the treasure that is there. So what we're saying in the moment is not necessarily always the reflection of the treasure in our heart. But he goes on to talk about building. And when you build, if anyone here has ever been involved in building, like God was involved in creating in Genesis 1, you know, building is not a one-off thing. It's not like a scattershot thing. You don't just build by mistake, by coincidence. You don't just suddenly find a house. Like a house just doesn't suddenly appear. Right? How do we build? We build by gathering materials. We lay a foundation. Then we start building on the foundation. We build this and build brick and build that and build. So it's not scattershot. It's not like once in a while something. No, we are actually building. And eventually we build and the house comes up and everybody say, whoa, look at that house. It's exactly how God created. He created this and created that. He created that. And every time he created, it was good. It was good. It was good. And then finally, like I told you last week, he said, it was very good. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you. I'm looking for very good. I'm looking for very good. I'm looking for very good. Let's go back here. Luke chapter 6. Then he says in verse 47, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings, that's my words, and does them, I will show you to whom he's like. So there are two things here. He comes to me, he hears my words, and he does them. I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man that built a house and dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. Do you know what happens when you lay a foundation? You and I, in this building in which we are, in this room, you can see the lights, you can see all the media stuff, you can see the pulpit, you can see the carpet, you can see chairs. But one thing nobody can see in this place is foundation. Nobody can see foundation. And what we are learning this morning is not deep at all. It's actually very simple. But it is so simple that we miss it a lot, many times. It is so simple that a lot of times we don't even realize that what we are really missing is that thing that is so simple and so obvious. You can see everything, but you can't see the foundation. So he says, this man, he comes to me, he hears my words, he does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man that built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And then he tells us what happens with the house that was built. When the flood arose, when the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it. So that tells me what is responsible for the integrity of that building, what is responsible for the life of that building, for the success and the quality of that building is something we can't even see. So something tells me that what you and I are doing right now that we call church has a great role in our success, in our well-being, in everything that we do in our lives. But actually, what is most responsible for how well our building turns out is not what you and I are doing here this morning. Because what is responsible for the integrity of that building cannot be seen. And where sometimes do we have the scattershot things that come out, the Lord, the positive things, right here in this atmosphere? Nobody in here is going to say, well, I mean, you know, no matter what we're thinking, the right thing always comes out of our mouth. But the Lord already helped us see here that what is coming out of our mouth in this moment may not necessarily be a reflection of what is the treasure of our heart. The treasure in our heart, the real test of the treasure in our heart, is what happens consistently, regularly, what we are building with every day, what we are working with every day. That's what's forming the foundation of our building. That's what's determining whether it's good or evil. Let's read further. He says, the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon it. Then he describes the other person. He said, but he that hears and does not do, doeth not, is like a man who without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream beat vehemently. And then what happened? Immediately it fell. Immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we know that was not a good house. What was it that determined whether this house was good or not? What determined the quality of this house? What was it that determined whether what was produced by these two different people was good or not? Let's go back to Genesis 1. Someone said, are you going to answer the question? Yeah, we are answering it even as we read. Are you going to tell us eventually? Yeah. The Lord is showing us right here. You and I, we're learning it together right here. What is it that determines whether one house stands the assault or not? What is it that determines the difference between the integrity of one house and the frailty of the other? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And he went on and divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the night he called the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning, whatever. And then he went on, created the heaven, the firmament of heaven, and he went on. I don't know if this creation story is a little boring to you, but I'm going to show you in just a minute one of the reasons why it is one of the most powerful things that we can read about. And he kept on building, and He kept on. Now, remember, there was a plan, there was a blueprint he was working with. And Every time he built, he was building with deliberate materials. He was building with deliberate materials, definite materials. He didn't substitute the material based on some convenience of the moment. He was building with deliberate materials. The Holy Spirit was at work. He was speaking. And as he was speaking, things were coming into manifestation, into view. And let's go all the way down to verse 11. He said, let the earth bring forth grass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit yielding, the tree yielding fruit after its kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, just as God said, working with the blueprint, with the plan. Hallelujah. Notice, the blueprint was inside of him. He and the Holy Spirit were working in conjunction. They were working in partnership. As his word was being spoken, the Holy Spirit was going to work, and he was building. And things were coming together. And every little thing and every single thing he built, he'll look at it and say, it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. And God said in verse 14, let there be light. And this is a different kind of light now, you know, from the first one. And then he said in verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moved. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. He started to create fruitfulness in the animals and the different beings that he had created. And then all the way, finally, he came all the way down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man now. Why? Why didn't he start at the beginning by making man? Why did he have to go through all this and let there be this and let there be that and let there be this? And why did all that have to come together? And then finally he said, now let us make man. I mean, ultimately, God's goal, for those of you who are looking forward to leave very soon, is snowing, so... The snow is very heavy. You can't leave. You need the snow to stop before you can leave. God gave us a perfect day for a service like this. I told you he's a perfect designer. Didn't I tell you that? I'm just kidding. Get this. I'm going to close in a minute. I don't want you to tune me out. I'm going to close shortly. And those of you online, stay with us. We're going to close in just a minute here. But there's somewhere I'm going here. Why did he create all these things? And then finally, remember, ultimately, God's goal, the earth is nothing without man. God's goal was always man. You know that, right? You know God's ultimate goal was to create man? You know that, right? God's ultimate dream. You know that, right? God's ultimate dream was man. You know that, right? You know, this light, this moon, water, fish, whale, all these things, you know, he's just walking towards man. Because at the end of the day, he's going to put all these things under the dominion of man. Man is the crown jewel of God's creation. You do know that, right? Stay hooked up with me. Don't quit on me yet, okay? Don't give up yet. Stay with me. Why is it that even though man had not been made, when he created the very first thing and his ultimate goal had not yet been made, but when he created the first thing, he said it was good. Why? See, the number of people, thank you, the number of people, Holy Spirit, help me say this right so I can close this service right here. The number of people who believe once you create the man, the job is done is good. But God doesn't think like that. God says, I have a number of things that I need to put in place before I get to man. And each of those things are good. You know, there are some people who think until man showed up, all these other things, there's not really nothing good about this. We're just making things. Well, finally, when we have man, oh, good. Oh, no, no. As far as God is concerned, this is good. And 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 finally, he gets to man, which was the crown jewel of his creation. Aren't you glad you are the crown jewel of God's creation? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he made all the works of his hands for your benefit? For your benefit. There are a lot of people who will look at all those things that led to the creation of man and would never call it good until the man that was really their dream was created. What was it that made the difference between the man that God called good, Jesus called good in Luke 6:45, and the one he called evil? Two things and two things only. Let's answer the question. The very first one is the one who is aligned with the blueprint of God. The one who is aligned with the blueprint of God. The one who is aligned and conformed to the blueprint of God. The one who knows the place of the foundation. The one who knows the place of the building. The one who knows the place, and the one who knows how to bring them together in the right order, and has a proper sense of appreciation of each of those components in their right order. The one who gives value to the foundation that is not seen. That's it. That's the first one. Who gives deep value to the foundation that is not seen? And the second one is the Word of God. But it's not even the Word of God. It's not just the Word of God. It is the Word of God taking his rightful place in our lives, affecting how we deal, affecting how we talk, and affecting how we live. The Word of God. and the word of God that is being engaged in a place of authority to produce in our lives. That's what he called good. He called it good because he had the right value for the order of God in their life. He gave foundation its rightful place, even though foundation could not be seen. What he did daily, what he did daily. Do you know the foundation of your building? See, people can look at your building and say how beautiful that building is. I'm going to tell you something. It's a secret, but you know this secret already. Your building will either stand or fall depending on its foundation. You can say everything you want to say. You can paint it every way you want to paint it. You can put all the best accessories. You can make it as beautiful as. But let me tell you, when the storm finally comes, your building will stand or fall depending on its foundation. Why did God make all these things? And each one, he called it good and good and good and good and good. And finally, he created man. Man, the crown jewel of his creation. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And after that, he looked at everything. Say, it's very good. It's very good. So let's close. Let's start by giving value. Hear me, church. Let's start by giving value to what is not seen. Let's start by giving value to what is not seen. It's not how well we call him Lord in the service. That's not the value. That's not what's adding. That's not what's making the difference in our buildings. It's not how well. Yeah, that has its place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That has its place. But what we do daily in building that foundation. And you know what? Sometimes it is a requirement for us to go down before we come up. Sometimes there is a depth that needs to be created before there is a building that can be seen. Building that foundation with the blueprint of God. Hallelujah. Did you receive something today? Did you see that regardless of where you are on this journey, what really counts is not what the analytics are saying. You are not a success because somebody declared you one. The blueprint of God, the order of God for your life is the most important, most significant component of your success. That blueprint, that foundation will hold up your building when the storms come. I think in the unprecedented plan of God for our lives, sometimes God is even limited in what he can put on our building because the foundation won't hold it. Several years ago, Bishop T.D. Jakes preached a message called, "Can You Stand to Be Blessed?" And truly, the answer to that question is so many believers can't. Because the foundation of our building is the only thing that can hold the blessing, that can hold the addition, the increase that God wants to pour out upon our lives. Let's close here. Let's give some more value to what is not seen. Let's give a greater value to the blueprint of the Holy Spirit, folks. Amen. Amen. Let's give a greater value to the one after the other that the Lord wants to do in the moment before some of the bigger dreams that we're really looking forward to. And like I said at the very beginning of the message, if the sketch of the dream you've always carried in your heart, if it doesn't line up with where you are in the moment, but you are fully committed to the Word of God and to the blueprint of the Holy Spirit, you're good. Amen. Just keep walking. Amen. Like Joseph. Just keep walking. Amen. Keep taking the Word of God. Keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because eventually, you will look back like Joseph, and you will, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Look what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet today? Foundation is what I want you to pray about as I close today. Foundation. How many times do we realize how much value God is putting on some of the things we consider insignificant? Because those are helping him walk his way to the ultimate dream that we have. But in his doing those things, we don't even think they are significant enough. We would never have looked at those things and said, that's good. We would never have celebrated that. Because in our minds, the ultimate, what we're really going for, what the ultimate dream, that's what we're waiting to celebrate. But as far as God is concerned, every single thing, this message today is extremely significant to quite a number of people. Because what he's going to do is going to make you tinker with the details of your foundation. It's going to make you pay a closer attention to the things that God is doing in your life that may not necessarily be obvious to everybody. That foundation of building with the Word. The simple things. That foundation of yielding to the Holy Spirit. The simple things. It can make a difference between whether your house stands or whether he doesn't. Whether God can ultimately bring to pass what he wants to do or if he's limited. Let's close together. I want you to reach out to the Lord today and say, Lord, my foundation, help me with it, Lord. Lord, help me with those seemingly insignificant areas of my life that I would not necessarily think are important to you. I know, Lord, my dream of a coat of many colors that occupies my attention fully. I realize that. I know that. You know that, Lord. But help me today. I heard your word. Help me today to do something different with my commitment, not just to what I'm hearing and what I'm saying in moments, but God, to what I'm doing with what I'm hearing and how I'm committed to building with what I'm hearing. Father, help me with the blueprint of the Holy Spirit. That whatever you are doing right now, whatever you are doing right now, one great servant of God wrote a song. He said, Lord, whatever you are doing, don't do it without me. Whatever you are doing right now in my life, help me. Not just to be aware, but to be a full participant, active participant in it. Maybe what you are doing seems like just creating firmaments, and I really don't care about firmaments. Maybe what you are doing seems like the fish in the sea. I don't really care about the fish. My ultimate dream is what I'm focused on. Lord, but help me. Help me pay attention. Be fully engaged in whatever you're doing in my life right now. Help me, God, value what is unseen. Help me value the foundations that are not necessarily seen or appreciated. Yes, Lord. Let me ask you, I heard the Holy Spirit say that in my heart right now. Will you pass that faithfulness test? Will you pass that test in the simple things, just in the little things? The simple things. Lord, help me go back. Help me go back. Help me go back and strengthen my foundation after this service. Help me go back, Father. My commitments, deliberate commitments that I've made to you, things that I said with you and committed with you that I have allowed to drop. Help me pass that faithfulness test, Lord. To be faithful in the little things, the insignificant things. Oh, I feel God building here. Oh, I feel God pouring out. Oh, I feel God releasing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, some things might just need to be strengthened. You don't necessarily need to rebuild it all together. You just might need to strengthen it. You may have let it drop and stop paying attention to it and considered it not as important as it used to be. But we just need to strengthen that foundation and let the Lord have his way. We bless your name, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, as we close out our service today, I thank you for the free move of the Holy Spirit in our service. We thank you again, God, for our 5 loaves and our 2 fish. Father, we thank you for everything whether they seem insignificant or not, that you're doing in our lives. We lift up our eyes, Lord. We look up to you. We stretch forth, God, in our imagination, in our heart, in our vision. We stretch forth for the great things that you have instructed. We go there deep into our hearts, God, and soften them, even in the areas, Lord, where you've been dealing with us. And we yield to the Holy Spirit. Have your way, God. Do that which is unprecedented, that which eye has not seen, ears have not heard, and it have not yet entered into the heart of man. The things that we have not necessarily expected, and yet which we know are in your eternal plan for us. Fulfill your word, O God. We thank you. Would you make this confession of faith with me? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blueprint of the Holy Spirit in creating in my life. I totally yield to that blueprint today. One step after the other, I totally yield to the Holy Spirit today. Have your way completely in every aspect, in every sphere of my life. Lord, I take your word today and I delve into the foundations of my life and I strengthen them with your word. I take your word, every word that I've heard and every word that I've received. Lord, I not just speak them. I don't just hear them, but I act upon them and I walk with them in building the house that you have given me. I thank you, Lord, because of your unprecedented move in my life. Thank you, God, because of the manifold blessings of God in my life. Thank you, Father, for fulfilling every word that you have spoken concerning me and concerning my family. Listen, if you have a family, whether it's young family or older family, whatever it is, I want you to speak the blessing of God and speak the will and the counsel and the blueprint of God upon those families right now. Hear this now. Hear this before you pray. I want you to pray, even if you're online with us. So, you know, sometimes we don't realize that there's so much greater that the Lord is able to do even within the spheres of our families based on His blueprint. Based on His blueprint. And sometimes we're looking somewhere different when God is doing something different. Somebody once said, if you look in the right places, you will see the evidence of what God is doing. And sometimes we're just not looking in the right places. I want you, just as we close out here, speak over your families. Speak over your family. Speak over your household, whether it's young, whether it's... I speak over your nuclear family. Speak over your extended family in the name of the Lord Jesus. You be the point of contact that God can use in that family to build a house that will stand until Jesus comes. You be that point of contact that will reintroduce the blueprint of God in that family. Things that are out of whack, things that are out of order. You be the point of contact that God will use to restore His original blueprint for that family. The blueprint of faith and the blueprint of love and the blueprint of faithfulness and integrity. And the blueprint of godly order. The blueprint of selflessness. You invite Him and say, Lord, I invite you into my family. I invite you, God, use me as a point of contact to build in this family. We restore the order of God. We restore the blueprint of God. We thank you. We thank you. Let's wrap up by thanking God for his unprecedented move in our lives. You know what that unprecedented move might look like? Where he built every part of our lives and he has this holistic plan that finally comes into fruition and we look back at it and we say, wow, wow, this is awesome. Wow, this is awesome. And he's building that even right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for your word that works today. Thank you, Father, for your word that is producing today. Thank you, Father God, for the Spirit of God that is moving. Thank you, Father God, for the products, the house, the glory that you are building. We thank you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We receive everything you spoke, Lord. We receive greater understanding, God. We receive greater illumination, Lord. We receive greater insight, O God, from your word. We receive the good that you have ordained for us. And we thank you. We thank you. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Thank you. It is sufficient. It is more than sufficient for everything you have ordained for my life. I give you praise for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah.